Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Our thought leader this morning is Don Lloyd. Don, good morning. Welcome back.
Steve, good morning. Good to be back.
Remind our listeners again what you do at Associated Bank.
Sure. I run what's called the Capital Markets Group at Associated Bank, which is just a fancy way of encompassing foreign exchange, interest rate swaps, and commodity derivatives.
It has been an interesting few days, has it?
It has been a wild ride. I'm glad to be here, resting a little bit. So thank you.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about the impacts. We've seen after the Fed cut, the markets go down and then go up. It looks like a roller coaster ride might continue for the foreseeable future.
No question about that. And whether it's a little bit of a mix between the coronavirus and a little bit on the Democratic candidates trying to get the leadership role for the election coming up, a little bit of everything's mixing in there. But surprise move by the Fed earlier this week, you know, 50 basis point cut, which no one really saw coming. It wasn't forecasted. They haven't had an emergency session since 2007, 2008. And they sort of surprised the market with a big cut and targeting Fed funds at 1 to 1.25% now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people saw that initially, and perhaps we saw that big drop right after that. The impact of that, the size of that, the meaning that goes along with that, because 2008, that was the financial crisis.
It was the financial crisis. And it's good to know that the Fed is awake at the wheel, that they are there to aid when necessary and if necessary. My only concern is that this really isn't a demand side issue. You know, just because rates are low and money is more liquid and more accommodative, what does that really mean? To me, this is more of a supply side issue of what's coming out with this whole coronavirus. And, you know, what does that mean? It means the global supply chain has slowed down. Okay. And if you take a look at container vessels, the big container ships that are going, they're lined up over in China full of goods. And China, because of quarantine and testing and whatnot, is having a hard time getting drivers to unload these things. So they sit out there in port. Now, the whole idea with these cargo ships is they unload, they offload their goods, and then they load back up with supplies from China to come back to the U.S. or other places. These container ships on their schedule are only 50% full. So they're leaving port only 50% full, and it's just a matter of time before these container companies and shipping companies sit there and say, slow it down, stay in port until you're 100% full. That's slowing down this whole supply chain on a global basis. Mm-hmm. Goods just aren't moving. So nice that rates are low and that the Fed has cut, certainly signaled to the market maybe some, you know, concern and crisis on their end, but I don't think it's going to do much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because this is a health and public safety issue, and a lower interest rate really is not going to get you out of that.
That's exactly right. This is a black swan that came. Nobody saw this virus coming. Like I said, good to know that the Fed is there, and if needed, will lend a hand any way that they can, but I think it's just not going to have that much of an impact. This has got to run its course.
You saw, we were talking before we came on the air today about all of the different things in history that you've seen on the trading floor. And did you ever think you'd see the Treasury note fall below 1%?
40 years in this business, and this is a first for me. So I sit there and I look at the young people on the trading floor right out of college, and we're seeing it for the first time. Under 1% for a 10-year Treasury. Never in my lifetime.
So here's the million-dollar question, Don, and that is, as investors, what should we be doing? I know we always talk to you about hedging. What are the concrete things that we can do?
Well, first, wash your hands about 10 times a day, right, and stay healthy. And know that these things will take their course and they will pass, and, you know, not to overpanic and not to panic. I mean, this is going to impact the economy. There's no question about that. I was supposed to be in a global conference next week, and it got canceled. I've heard of two other conferences that were canceled. You know, so whether it's travel, dining, hotel rooms, all of that is going to become soft and spongy for a while, you know, as people sit there and retract and try to avoid this. And the market's going to adjust accordingly. And that's why you're seeing so much whipsawing going on and so much, you know, major moves that are going on. It's because the market's forward thinking about this stuff. How long will it last? And that's going to be the big question. Now, How long will it last is an interesting thing. Go back to a pandemic of 100 years ago in 1918, where it killed 20 million people. It went around the world three times. And it was 1930 by the time we realized that it was this little organism called a virus. We had no idea what a virus was back in 1918. Medicine today is so much faster, more efficient, knowledgeable. We're able to identify these things very quickly. We're able, hopefully, to quarantine things or try to put protocol in place and hopefully find some solution that will help slow this thing down or at least manage it as it runs out of steam, which it will eventually. Now, whether that's 3 months or a year or 3 years, who knows? But we're not 1918 anymore. So I like to think that as the markets have changed, so has medicine. The speed at which things happen, just take a look at the financial markets. News comes out, it blows up, there's a major move, and then all is calm again, and it's forgotten 3 days later, a week later. Medicine's sort of like that.
Yeah.
You know? So we'll see.
I've heard more than one financial expert say that the economy, global economy, the U.S. economy was sort of in a bubble waiting for somebody to burst it. And that's going to lead to a recession. This is how we go to that point.
We'll see. To me, we're not too far out of 2007, 2008 with participants in the market. And to them, the younger people, the recession to them is what we saw in 2007 and 2008. And that was not a typical recession. We have to see what everybody has to remember what a typical recession is. And they happen, they occur, and we come out of it, and we're much better off than we were when we went into it, and the world goes on. Every recession isn't defined by 2007, 2008 financial crisis. So I understand that everyone's probably sensitive to that. Like, oh my gosh, are we on the brink of this again? And the answer is maybe. I personally don't think so, but I can understand everyone's concern.
I want to, while we have you here today, talk a little bit about Brexit. And I know that is moving forward, too. There is some news about whether or not the capital markets there are going to be able to support what's going on.
Yep.
And whether or not this is going to impact global trade.
Oh, the capital market union. A great idea for the whole European community over there. Unlike America, when you take a look at the European community and how they're trying to be one microorganism, since we were on the virus, one organism out there, their capital markets are still very fractioned. You know, they do line up by border and by sovereign risk, if you will. Money is very isolated to individual countries, and the availability of the capital markets is still very segmented. The capital markets union and what the EC has been trying to do is to dismantle that and make funds more available, lower costs of financing and debt, get it more homogenous between Greece and Italy and Germany and Belgium so that everybody has access to tap the same liquidity at the same cost of money and the same price. Those are all healthy things. Those are all really good things. What sort of threw the wrench in it a little bit was Brexit, with the UK moving out of it. And London was such a major financial center. And now that is out of the EC. And this capital markets union, they've got to sort of figure out where this is going to sit, how it's going to be put together and whatnot without London being a part of it, or what role London should play as a part of it.
Don, remind us how to get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if we want to have more information on some of this.
Sure. You can reach me. My email is donald.lloyd@associatedbank.com. Looking forward to any and every email that comes into me.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Take care.